What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast.
Hey, guys, and I'm JJ Crable.
And I'm Kat.
And on this episode, we once again have somebody who was kind enough to come on from Reddit, and their name is Riley. Riley, would you like to introduce yourself to our audience?
Hi, guys. I'm Riley, a first-time poster on Reddit for paranormal spooky stuff, and it led me here, so thank you for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Reddit is such a important place for me lately. I feel like anytime I Google anything, I just add Reddit onto the end of it. And I feel more supported by people with their responses and answers.
This podcast is not sponsored by Reddit.
Or is it?
Reddit, you can get on that.
For sure. They all have the answers. Every post, every subreddit, they have the answers.
Yeah, I feel like Reddit is what you make of it, because it can go from supportive to like YouTube comments real quick, depending on like where you are and what you're looking for. You know, it can get kind of strange fast. So Riley, what we usually do is ask our guests kind of to see where they fall on the spectrum of believing in the supernatural. 0 meaning you don't really believe at all, and 10 meaning you do believe absolutely in ghosts and the supernatural. Where do you kind of fall?
For me personally, it's definitely a 10.
Wow, 10.
10 for sure, yeah. You can't really go through, like, you can experience, like, the amount of things that I've experienced without, like, there's no answer, there's no rhyme, there's no reason. Like, it's just unexplained, and you just have to believe. That's it.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I feel like all of us, well, Noah and I have had, like, similar, like, some experiences that weren't like super direct, Noah actually saw a ghost. I've never seen one. JJ's never experienced literally anything.
No, nothing.
So and we just don't understand.
Paranormal or normal.
Just that's no right. experience. Got to work on that CV.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you guys might be lucky to kind of not experience that world, because at times it's quite scary. You just don't know what's lying ahead of you. So just to kind of be oblivious to the fact might be a better understanding of the world. Yeah. So
it sounds like you've had quite a few experiences then. Do you want to kind of walk us through one of your first ones?
Oh my God. Yeah, sure. So like my whole entire life has been riddled with just experiences, not only like by myself, but family members. And I can definitely get into all of that if you guys are willing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But recently I posted my experience on Reddit, and it was the first time I've ever publicly spoken about such an experience. Like, I've told a handful of friends, like my partner, my family, but nothing at that kind of like spectrum, nothing that broad. But my first experience, I was 6-7 years old, and my parents, they had divorced when I was 5. So this led me to live in 2 different households. When I'd spend my time with my dad on the weekends, my dad was seeing somebody. So I was at this house. I didn't have anything, you know, I was just there and spending time with the family. But this night is just so vivid. And like, I can recall every like feeling and every experience of that night. But I was laying in my room. It's quite small. You know, I had a day bed, nothing in the closet, and a little nightstand with a TV. And I'm laying there, and, you know, at like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, because I developed sleep insomnia pretty early on in life. So like, I was awake pretty like late in the morning. And, you know, at that time, like reruns of like George Lopez or Robot Chicken like are playing on the TV. But anyways, I remember like Robot Chicken was playing on the TV, and I see the spider crawl across the screen. And so I've never been one to leave a spider like be in my space. So I was just like, okay, I went and grabbed some toilet paper from the neighboring bathroom, and I went and I took care of it. You know, at this point I'm fully awake, you know, I haven't slept yet. And then I lay back in bed. And when I'm in bed, a short while after, I could feel like a vibration on the bottom of my bars of my bed. And so like, at that point, I'm just like, what's going on? Like, I don't think much of it. I'm just sitting there. My TV's still playing in the background, and nothing happens for a while. And then all of a sudden, you know, like a day bed, like it's just bars. There's like a mattress and there's bars. So there's nothing underneath this bed, because I had nothing. We didn't have a dog. We didn't have a cat. And it was like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Anyways. So to my terror, I felt the whole entire length of the bed, like the bars being like run over by fingers, like if you were to like walk by a fence. And I stopped. Like I could hear it. I could feel it in my bed. And like, I can remember that, just like the terrifying feeling that I had in my chest. So I sat there and, you know, at some point I looked over the bed, because like, you can't just sit there and just like totally not acknowledge what's going on. And so I'm sitting over the bed, just peeking my head, and there's nothing at first. And after a while, I start to see the crown of a head slowly move out of the bed. But the thing is like, it wasn't like somebody inching. It was like the most inhuman way of it, something just like slowly pushing out, right? And so as this like figure, this creature moved out from the bed, I could start seeing the greasiness and the knots in the hair. And then because my TV light's on, right? The TV's on, I can see the light of everything in the room. So the knots and the greasiness in the hair, and then it gets to the skin complexion. And it was like translucent, like, I guess the perfect like explanation of this, if you guys have ever seen The Exorcist, mm-hmm. and how Reagan is just like completely disgusting and just not visually appealing at all, with cracked lips, terrible skin, you know, crazy hair. So this is what's like looking at me, right? The lips are cracked, drier than the desert, and the eyes are like really blue. Like the only comparison that I've ever come across is like the Game of Thrones, the zombie dude, uh-huh. like how blue the eyes were. So I'm looking at this and it's so foreign to me, but at the same time, it's like, I know what it is because it was me. So I'm sitting there, 7 years old, looking over my bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, looking at myself, but the most like terrible dead version of me that I could like ever explain. And, you know, I'm 7 years old. Like, I've never seen a scary movie. I don't do anything like that because my parents wouldn't let me. So like, how could this thing be right there? Because I couldn't imagine it. It's there, it's in front of me, and it just stared. Did nothing, it didn't speak, yes. didn't, like nothing happened. And so of course, I screamed my head off. Being such a little girl and just so terrified of the situation, I was not equipped to take care of it whatsoever. My dad comes running in, and you know, he flips on the lights, he looks under the bed, he's like, oh, there's nothing there, like absolutely, like you're okay, you know, like, you know, a while passes, I'm like freaking out, but he's like, just go back to bed. He tucks me back in, turns off the light, but the second that he left the room, I turned it back on and I stayed up all night. And that was my first experience that I've ever had, and it's something that has like terrified me to this day, because like I still can't have space underneath my bed. It's so scary.
Wow. You said you were 7 when this happened, and the, you know, this entity that came out of your bed, was it like a 7-year-old version of yourself, or was it like an adult version of you?
No, it was like 7-year-old me. Like, mm-hmm. I knew what I looked like, you know, like you take like my school photos and you take the same thing, put it together, and it's the same person. Mm-hmm. So like, I was looking at myself. That's why it was like so foreign and so familiar at the same time, because like, I knew that it was me.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
And you said it like came out of your bed. I mean, was it like kind of coming out of the mattress, like,
oh no, okay,
or from under your bed,
the space under my bed, in my gotcha. Room, it was a twin bed, there's mm-hmm. no way anything could fit under there, absolutely nothing.
That's so crazy. And you were like awake, like this wasn't a dream that you woke up from, like,
no, fully awake, absolutely fully awake. And like, since you mentioned that, like I talked to my dad about this, right, probably like that same time, because I remember him not accepting like what had happened and like how terrified I'd been. And you know, after that, like I slept with the lights on, nothing under my bed. I always checked under my bed, or like I shoved things so nothing could fit. But fully awake, this thing just like inched out from the space under my bed. And I actually researched this, like, you know, when I got older, and it's a doppelganger. That's what I've like come to the conclusion of it being. And with my research, I found out that like a doppelganger can like, you know, foresee death, you know, sickness, or terrible life events. And I ended up getting like this whole slurry of terrible life events. And like, I'm not saying that I can blame it on that, but like, that could be one reason that, you know, things happen, because you're not supposed to see things like that, especially so young. Like, that's the beginning of your life.
That is crazy. I'm literally like, my feet have been in the air for the past 10 minutes because we're sitting on a couch with space under it.
Riley, how has that affected your life going into adulthood? Like, how were you able to kind of carry the weight of an event like that?
Moving on forward into life, like, it's just kind of like knowing that something happened, but kind of also dismissing it at the same time. It's just like, you always know that there might be something there. And so you're always kind of like cautious about things, or like you're just scared of something that you shouldn't be. And this like leads into the next experiences that I have, but like they're always spaced out years from certain times. And
it's okay.
For our viewers listening, I was not a doppelganger. It was a cat jumping.
Cats are so funny at these recordings.
I wonder if the doppelganger is doing a podcast right now talking about seeing like a human version of them. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I just put my feet in the air again. What a weird like thing. Yeah, that could totally be happening.
It's like if you've seen us, there's doppelgangers living underground just being forced to podcast.
Spoiler.
It's been out for a while.
You're right. You're right.
If you haven't seen it, go see it. I don't know.
So did your dad believe you at all, or have you guys come to an understanding about what happened?
Okay, so after I posted my Reddit post, I called my dad, and I asked him, I was just like, hey, do you remember this happening? And he's like, I don't necessarily remember that happening, but I know that something to that extent happened, and it has stuck with me until this day. And, you know, my dad, he's an ex-cop, you know, he's done crazy things with his life, but he is definitely a believer in the paranormal, and he's had so many different experiences throughout his young life and now into his adult life. But there's no answer to that. And like, he finally like was like, yeah, like I understand like this happened, but you were too young and I didn't want to scare you. Which is understandable because I had experienced something like that.
Mm-hmm. So he had experienced something similar to that, or he was just saying he remembers you like being upset about the experience?
No, he remembers me being upset about it, but he was accepting to the fact that it had happened.
Gotcha. Okay. Wow.
They always say that, like, you know, kids and younger people are the ones that kind of have more like vivid, mm-hmm. non-biased experiences because they're so young and innocent. They don't really know to limit what they see or hear, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wonder if that's the same in the ghost world, which is why your young doppelganger self was like, I'm gonna go peek my head out and look. But maybe she wasn't allowed to.
Yeah, I hope it was like that, but it was terrifying to just, you know, to just be that kind of incident.
And she just stared.
Just stared. But like what felt like, you know, like a lifetime was probably no more than, you know, 5 to 10 seconds. Like it happened that quick and it was over that quick as well.
And it wasn't like you both came out at the same time, like you were looking in a mirror. It was like she came out and then you looked over and saw her.
No, I was over the bed. And it began to just like slide out. Yeah. Ugh. Scary stuff.
And what happened after you screamed? Did it just vanish? Or?
Yeah, it was gone. Like everything that I remember, like I, you know, like when you see something, like I physically remember like pushing away from the side of the bed and screaming, just like moving back to the wall, my dad running in. But like, you know, he was right across the hall. So that like from the time from he got to my room to my, or from his bedroom to my room, like it was gone. There was nothing under the bed. There was absolutely nothing. So...
Were you ever able to sleep in that room again? I feel like I never would have been able to.
I honestly do not remember because, you know, my dad wasn't with that person for that long. And mm-hmm. so like, I hadn't lived there for that long and it was only like weekends, but I'm pretty sure that like, I would be up all night and, you know, it carried on to like when I stayed at my mom's house or stayed at other people's houses, like I could never sleep. It was terrifying.
Do you remember what Robot Chicken episode was on?
God, no, I do not.
From when you were seven?
I still watch that show. It's great. I love it.
You kind of bounced around between houses. Did anything happen at the other houses?
Yes. Glad you asked. My next experience didn't happen until, maybe fifth, sixth grade. So this was, I don't even know how many years ago, but it was quite some time later after that first initial experience. So I was living with my mom at the time, and I had a friend come over, and I had gotten a brand new phone. It was the iPhone 4. So, super it's new generation. I'm young, but my friend decided to take pictures on my phone, take selfies. And in the background, we were watching The Walking Dead, and, it was the first episode. The main dude, he's walking out of the hospital, is super bright, right in the beginning of it. So there's nothing crazy going on. Right. And so in the pictures, when I looked at them the next day, I had this fabric couch. So obviously it's not a reflective surface, it was tweed or whatever it was. And then behind that, there's a walkway. And then there's a china hutch with a mirror that goes across the length of it. In the picture, on her, what is it? Her left shoulder? Over her left shoulder, there was a face. But it was a cloudy but translucent face that was staring right at her. And you could see the jaw and kind of the outline of everything, and also the eyes. Ooh. The eyes were a pale yellow. And the mouth was like gaping open to expose some crazy teeth. And so I freaked out. I decided to show my mom, and we were looking at it together. And it wasn't just one face. The more you looked at it, it was four faces. Because once we were fixated on that one, we're just oh my God, we didn't notice anything else in it. But, it was different transparencies, and it was just in the background, or it was floating behind the couch. There was no other body to it, but it was just a face. And they were all looking at her. And come to find out later that she had played the Ouija board, and we were in sixth grade. So she's tapping into stuff that she shouldn't be. She's I don't blame that experience on me. And I completely I blame her for that. But it was terrifying to see. My mom actually made me delete the pictures. And I really, really, really regret deleting such powerful evidence of the paranormal, because it was something we could never recreate it, because it was truly terrifying. So,
Mom,
I know.
The only other time I've heard of yellow eyes and crazy teeth, how would you describe their mouth again?
Fangs, but gaping open. So I remember the top was kind of open, but then the jaw was just like a snake, mm-hmm. where it kind of unhinges and goes a little bit further, but mm-hmm. it was a gape. It was crazy with fangs. I don't know how long they were, but it looked massive, just terrifying.
The only other time I've heard of that exact description was from a friend of mine who, at the time had a significant lack of oxygen, and was blacking out and really close to death. And he says he remembers seeing very clearly this kind of face, described the jaw lower and teeth like that and yellow eyes. But he was convinced that it was a face of an angel. And not he's not Christian or anything like that. He just has always known angels to be more gruesome and fearful looking than described in our children's literature and churches all over
the
place.
Maybe it was the devil.
Could be.
Maybe. But I think even not that I know the Bible as well as once in my life, but I'm even when they describe angels, they describe them as terrifying creatures that are coming to send a message or whatever it may be. But because that's just interesting, because I haven't heard that description in a while.
Yeah, I mean, the possibilities are endless of truthfully what it could be. Mm-hmm. But just saying that it doesn't matter if it's an angel or the devil, but
yeah,
truly it's life changing and absolutely terrifying. So taking pictures, it's a little bit scary sometimes.
And have you spoke to your friend recently about that event?
No, we haven't been friends, gosh, maybe a year after
since that night.
Yeah, since that night. It's just, enough was enough. But I haven't spoken to her, never brought it up. My mom and I just kind of like put it out, like, don't talk about it. But I did text her the other day and like, hey, remember this? And she said, absolutely, how could I forget? So yeah, it's a lasting impression for sure.
So would you say your mom and dad have kind of a different approach to the supernatural?
So my mom, she knows things happen, but I think she's too scared to understand like why they do. And then my dad, like he grew up in, he actually like grew up in a haunted house, like crazy haunted with his whole entire family. So his understanding of the paranormal is it's very like personal. Like he understands it. He knows it's there. So the difference between them is like black and white. One's scared, one knows it's happening, and they're totally both accepting of it though. Like they believe me, they understand. And like, you know, he's had personal experiences. I've never asked her, but it's there.
Has your dad watched, what is it, Haunting of Hill House on Netflix?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't asked him, but I don't think he would because he doesn't like scary movies.
Yeah, I was just curious because some of the people that have had situations like that on our podcast, they say that that show is like the closest thing to what they've experienced, like growing up in haunted houses and things like that. But completely understandable that somebody who's been through that would not want to invite that back in their life.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, and like if they can like describe it as their own, like the Hill House is a comparison, like my family's experience was definitely a comparison. And like it even, you know, it made it into the newspaper. I'm gonna get my hands on a copy of the article soon. You know, we've had priests come and bless the house, and just some crazy stuff had happened, and like not a lot of my family like to talk about it.
Wow. So have you had any more personal experiences before we transition to the haunted house?
Goodness. So yes. So when I was living with my dad, he had gotten married. We settled down at this house. So I was probably eighth grade at the time. So like I would just get home from school and wait until everybody else got home. My dad and stepmom are working. My little brother was at school. So I just be there by myself. And it's just like, there's always a feeling. There was always a feeling in that house of just kind of like looking behind your back or just like being a little like spooked out because like it was a new house, but it just felt super eerie. I remember like I was sitting on the couch and the way that the TV was set up, it was pretty high up, but you could see like the kitchen and then you can see the stairs. While the TV transitioned to black, like through an episode of a show, I saw a figure sitting on the stairs. And it was really quick. The TV popped back on. I looked back and there was nothing there. So I was just like, you know, it's just a trick of my mind. And come to find out, you know, after all these years, my dad saw a little boy in that house.
What?
Yep. And so like, that was just like something I was like, I refuse to acknowledge because it was like, oh, it's just maybe a trick of my mind. But like, I saw that I was the only person at home and like sitting on the stairs, just, you know, by myself, nothing could have explained it. So that was like the second to last personal experience that I've had. At the house that we moved into after that, I had really bad sleep paralysis. And I know that a lot of people are like, you know, it's not a part of the paranormal world, but in certain situation, there's no other reason like to explain it. But I like in the basement of the house, that's where my room was. No, but everyone else was up on the third floor. So like there was so much space between us. Laying in bed and I'd wake up and I had this like, so I had a closet and then I had like a crawl space, but it had like doors that shut. And I just sat there, like I'd wake up just like paralyzed in fear and I'd just stare at those doors. like waiting for something to show up. And after like everything like broke, like, you know, lights would be on, I'd be watching TV to go back to sleep. But like, I never like dismiss, like, I didn't like relate that to being paranormal, but there's the possibilities, you know, some crazy stuff happened in that house. So you can't really like dismiss it.
We've had a lot of people talk about sleep paralysis, yeah. And
it's definitely what a do you think,
JJ? He's been so quiet. He's probably over here like, okay, first off, we didn't see this.
Oh, no, I'm just shocked by this phrase. Like, really? That's really, really creepy. And normally I'm like, I want a ghost to come haunt me or, you know, have some kind of encounter just because, you know, I'm curious and I want to believe that ghosts are out there. But the things that you're describing, I mean, the sleep paralysis, I could be fine with some sleep paralysis, though I'm sure it's not pleasant. But, you know, that face and the doppelganger, I'll take a hard pass on that.
Yeah.
It's definitely like, I know like other people have had like kind of like eerie things happen to them, like doors closing and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of my experience of like, they've been visual and they're not pleasing whatsoever. Like, you're not going to sleep after that. Yeah. And it's like a lasting effect. So like when I say like you really don't want to experience it, you probably don't, because there's that stuff and it exists and it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't even sleep after I watched the first Saw movie. So, you know, and that was just on a TV. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Riley, at what age did you stop seeing like visual entities?
So the last like time, like, that I've seen something personally, I was about 16. You know, it would just be like shadows, like, you know, out of like in light spaces, just walking across. But nothing more than that afterwards. Like, it was the void, the sleep paralysis, and just shadows. And like after then, it just like became physical, like the feeling, and just like, you know, little experiences, but nothing to the intensity of what had happened previously.
Yeah, that seems to be pretty common with people that we've had on tell their stories. It seems like they get to kind of a certain age of maturity and they stop visually seeing ghosts, but they still have, you know, they might feel an energy or, you know, like smaller experiences, yeah, with the supernatural.
Yeah, that's exactly what I experienced. Like, it just went from 100% to maybe 10% in a span of 15 years.
Maybe there is something to the movie with Tom Hanks. The Express, they go to
Polar Express,
y'all.
Right.
Words are so hard lately.
I have not seen that movie. I've only read the book.
Well, I'm going to spoil it for you. Book,
there are no ghosts.
Yeah, are there hauntings in the Polar Express?
But I, isn't it like if you, but, oh wait, that's different. If you believe, you can see the Polar Express and Santa and everything.
Right.
Or is it only the kids can see Santa, and when you're an adult, you can't, because you kind of stop believing when you're an adult. In this case, this isn't the case, but what I am making a great
like
point.
Polar Express.
Can you draw that on a whiteboard for us?
Where my brain is like, maybe there is something too, like when we get older, it just becomes less possible to our brains to be flexible enough to hear these things and see these things. And
this is a real hauntings podcast scoop. The Polar Express is real.
Oh my
we just
goodness.
Can't see it because we're adults.
That's right.
Which means that JJ, you're kind of screwed. You're never going to see a ghost. You're too old.
I missed the deadline, apparently.
Woof.
So Riley, this all kind of leads us into, I guess, the story with your dad's haunted house. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. So my family, they grew up in the Seattle area. They were, you know, here from the late 60s to mid 80s. And during that time, my family had moved into a house with my grandpa, who's like my step-grandpa, basically, his two kids, and then my grandma, she had six of her own kids. So it was a blending of a large family. They moved into this house, and I've been told so many stories by my family members, and, you know, it's like all of, like, with permission that, like, I'm able to speak on this matter, because, like, they're not my stories to tell, but, like, passing it on is definitely something that I want to do. But they moved into this house, and everything was pretty chill at first. My aunt, we'll call her Jay. She was the oldest one of the house. And, you know, she investigated the area, and it led her to a cemetery. And at the cemetery, it's overgrown and whatnot. And she, you know, took time to kind of clear things off. You know, she read the names on the stones, because, like, when you want to remember somebody, that's what you do. You just, you know, go to their gravesite, talk to them, remember them. Anyways, after that, it turns out that was a really big mistake, and something had, like, attached itself to her into the house and, like, the whole property. And so from there, it just kind of, like, began to get a little more intense. It started with the smell of roses, like a very sweet kind of, like, someone brought fresh flowers, you know, like, you're not going to mind it, but you're kind of like, you know, it's pleasant, but where is it coming from? And see, it went from roses to, like, absolutely terrifying encounters. My dad, he personally, so, like, in, it was a two-level house. So, like, on the top was above ground, and the, you know, above ground on the bottom floor. And the basement was unfinished. And so with the doors, they didn't have any doorknobs. And he shared a room with my uncle Kay, who, you know, was hard of hearing, so he didn't experience anything, especially during the night. But he, you know, sat there awake, and he saw a mist float in through the door, the doorknob where, you know, it should be. And it turned into a whole figure. And then, you know, he covered his hair or his head and didn't do anything. And that's, like, the only, like, experience that he's personally had himself. And then moving on to, like, the women of my family, my Aunt Jay, they were sleeping on the carport, and they're all of them, like, six of them on the carport. They have their dog with them. And the dog wakes my aunt up with his barking. You know, she looks over, and she's staring at this light pole, and she sees, like, this kind of, like, silver undulating, like, vertical mist. And it starts to rise up the light pole. And it, like, once it got to the top of the tree line, it just stayed there. And she explained this scenario to me so many times, but she never said that she, like, felt scared. But she felt, like, very comfortable during that time. And, like, she, like, it was, like, a friend that she hasn't seen in a long time. And so she wasn't scared whatsoever. Nobody else saw it. But after a while of it just, like, kind of sitting and just, like, moving within itself, it turned and bent 90 degrees, and it just flew off into the night. So, and... Were you going to say something?
Yeah. So I don't think we've ever had a story about a ghost in mist form. Have
really?
We?
Yeah. No, not that I can think of.
Yeah. That's wild. I don't know if I've ever even heard of that. Was it a certain color, or was it just clear, or?
For my dad, it was like dark green, black. And then for my aunt, it was like a silver blue. So it was, like, really pretty to look at. It wasn't scary whatsoever.
Yeah. That's like some World of Warcraft haunting stuff. That's
right. It's just, like, pretty to look at, but kind of terrifying. Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Oh, and then, like, moving on, my other aunt, there's a lot of them, four aunts and four uncles.
Wow.
Or three uncles and then my dad. So there's four boys and four girls. So it's separated pretty evenly. But, like, all of, like, the women on my family experienced some crazy stuff, and the men just, like, weren't in tune with the situation whatsoever. And that's, like, why personally I think that I had all of these experiences, because it carried on from my aunts down to me, and also to my female cousins. Like, we get some crazy experiences throughout our life. But in one particular, like, scenario, my aunt woke up to, like, a vibration on her bed, like a real shaking though. and she saw hundreds of faces like on her wall, just looking at her and like speaking, but no sound was coming out.
Oh my gosh. Ugh.
You know,
I wanted you to say doppelganger so bad, but I'll accept 100 faces.
Yeah, hundreds of faces. No doppelgangers, like just like these eerie faces. Like, and I don't know, you probably have seen Hercules, you know, and how like those ghosts float. They float in the river. And so like, it was kind of foolish, you know, like just faces like here and there and everywhere, just like looking at her and talking to her, but like not real faces, but like kind of like translucent, ghostly kind of things.
And they, do they look like angry or happy or just lost?
No, I honestly don't know. And like
a comedy show? That's crazy.
Crazy stuff, yeah. And I, that scared the crap out of her. Yeah, you know, I don't think she slept alone after that for a while. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, and it like, it moves to like mirrors being thrown across rooms. To my grandma being pushed down the steps during an argument, and you know, no one's up there. She gets pushed down, breaks an ankle. And like, there's so many things that like I want to like elaborate on, but like I want to actually write a book about this. So like I'm working on the process of like, hey, like family members, what do you think? Tell me your stories. But those ones are like kind of like the big real kickers.
It's which is like, also the premise of Haunting Hill House. So I feel like your life is turning into this.
Literally.
Yeah, it's like it's generations of hauntings, and it's like passed down from one family member to another, and like it's a blessing and a curse, but it's a great experience for sure, like being aware and kind of experiencing those things.
So what do the men in your family think of all this if they're not as like in tune to these experiences?
You know, my three uncles, like they never had any personal experiences. Mm-hmm. Two of them were out of the house and one of them was hard of hearing. So I'm sure, you know, he like experienced some stuff when he was a kid, like, you know, with everyone, like, you know, the smell of roses or whatever, and the grandma falling down the stairs. But personally for him, he couldn't hear anything. You know, when he went to sleep, he went to sleep. There was nothing about it. And then my dad was the only like person besides my grandpa to have like an actual experience and see something. So, and he's also had experiences later on in his life that he just recently told me about. So he's like aware, just like we're aware, but the rest of them is kind of, I don't know how they feel about the situation.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow. Well, I want to read your book when you write it, so.
I'll be sure to send it to you guys. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, you'll have to come on and promote on the Premier Ghost Podcast. Let our audience know where they can get it. So have you ever gotten together, like, you know, now that we live in the age of Zoom and we're all stuck at home, have you ever done like a group call with all the women in your family to compare notes?
You know, no, that's actually like a really good idea, but we all have different schedules. Unfortunately, getting at, you know, different times of the week, working different days and whatnot. But I have talked to all of them. I'm definitely going to like document everything, sit down and spend a day once this whole virus thing is over.
Yeah.
So it is in the future for sure.
Very cool.
Cool.
So you said that there was a news article written about the home too. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So, like I said, my family is in the Seattle area, and my aunt ended up working for the company that produced the article. And they later found out that it was her, and they asked her all these questions. But in this article, it just basically, it hides our identities, of course, but it's like, it talks about the experiences and how like the priest came and they blessed the house and that it seemed to go away after that. But it just kind of elaborated on that. And I was actually never allowed to get my hands like on it and read the whole entire thing. But I'm definitely trying right now. Like a couple of my aunts have it and my grandma has it. So once I get it, I'd be more than willing to share it with you guys.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome.
That'd be really cool.
So it sounds like your family has been trying to like kind of protect you from some of these experiences. Is that accurate?
Oh, for sure. You know, I didn't find out majority of this until I turned 18 mm-hmm. and was kind of like my own person. So, you know, it's been about 4 years since I found out about most things. And it's just like asking the right questions and kind of like showing them that you like really want to know and that you're not scared or you're not like judging them for like experiencing these such things.
Yeah.
And what did you say to someone who, even, you know, after hearing your stories, it's like, I don't believe in ghosts. Like, do you care? Yeah. How does that make you feel?
See, the thing is like, I don't really talk about it. So this is like, I've told a handful of people and it's all like family members that have like experienced it, my partner, you know, and like a friend or two, and they believe me. So getting this story out there is kind of like the, you know, it'll be the first time if people believe me or not. And, you know, that's totally okay. Like, you have to experience something to, you know, you got to see it to believe it.
Yeah. Just to see, like, who else out there has been experiencing the same things could bring you a lot of peace.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, my favorite thing about this podcast is hearing the similarities and stories, because to me, that just gives the most credence to the stories is when people keep coming on and there's these like same similarities with their experiences, mm-hmm. especially like the Hat Man, the Shadow Man, like all those weird ones. I'm just like, how does everybody keep having this same freaking ghost in their house? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's hard to make up, you know, like it's definitely easy to see it, but like just like making up something like that it's too much. So there has to be connections within the world and everyone's experiences of like that specific world itself.
Well, I will say that doppelganger story might be the scariest ghost story I've ever heard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, take my feet up again when I remembered it.
But, you know, adding on to that, like, I recently just started talking about this kind of stuff out loud because I was always too scared to say anything because I didn't really want to accept it. And, you know, I started talking with my aunts and stuff and my dad. And the last few nights, terrible nightmares, absolutely terrible.
Oh, no.
You know, once again, I'm kind of scared to like hang my hand over the edge of the bed, and I haven't been sleeping super good, which kind of sucks. But I know that definitely after today, I'm probably going to take a mental health break from all this stuff and just not think about it. Just put myself outside of that world for sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And we really appreciate that, you know, you had the courage to talk about and relive some of those events for us and for our listeners.
Well, yeah, thank you for having me on. This is a really cool experience, and I'm just glad I got to, like, talk about something.
Yeah, Riley, thank you so much. It's so brave of you to come on and share your stories. Is there anything you'd like to promote or anything of that nature for our audience?
No, not at that time. Just personal experiences, and just glad I got to share it with you guys.
Okay, awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on.
And hey, if any of your family or friends listen and they want to come on and share their story, just hit us up. We'd love to have them.
Definitely. I'll definitely shoot that towards them for sure.
Aww.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you so much, Riley.
Thanks.
Her life is legitimately like Haunting of Hill House. Like, one of the characters was an author who wrote a book, and then they're all going to go back to that house when the book comes out and get trapped in there.
Right. And the doppelganger thing kind of reminded me of when that one character sees like herself in the future, like when she realizes that she was the Crooked Neck lady the whole time.
Ugh. God, that show is so scary. It's the new season supposed to come out.
I can't wait.
That was a cool guess. It's been interesting to see kind of the dichotomy of people that we're getting from the internet.
You know, we know the person, when she talked about like the yellow eyes and the teeth, we know the person, you guys know this person too, so.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to share their name in case that story they didn't want to share. So maybe that person can come back on and talk about it sometime, but I just thought it was so interesting, the similarities about it.
Yeah
Pretty
scary. What out of all the, because we got kind of a big array of stories, and it even sounded like she was holding back some of the scary ones for her book, what out of those do you think would scare you the most?
For sure, the doppelganger. 100%.
You don't think it'd be the hundreds of faces on the wall? Like, that's pretty scary, too.
No, still the doppelganger. Like, even if it wasn't a doppelganger, just seeing something slide out of your bed the way she described it is so freaky.
I had a joke, but I was like, I didn't know if it'd be insensitive, so I didn't make it. But I wanted to be like, Riley, what if you're the doppelganger and she was the real Riley? But I was like, this person's actually going through this stuff. I'm not gonna say that.
He probably has thought, maybe he thought that. But like, I was so traumatized by that fucking movie, What Lies Beneath.
Oh,
and which one is that?
I don't know, but basically
it's the one with Harrison Ford and Goldie Hawn.
No.
What Lies Beneath?
No, Goldie Hawn.
True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Richard Greer.
No.
And oh my God, I'm gonna be right. Richard Greer and that blonde girl. Goldie Hawn is not in it.
It's about ghosts.
That is not Goldie Hawn. That's
Harrison Ford and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Ah, yeah.
Blonde women are not the same. All blonde women are not the same.
I have no. I don't know. I agree with Kat.
But I remember, I literally watched in third grade, had no clue what it was going to be. And there's a part where they're in a bathtub and like the ghost of the dead wife that he killed or however it is, just like translucently comes out of the body. And I'm just like, I couldn't, like I had to check behind the shower curtain for the rest of my life. Like I still do, but we don't have a shower curtain now. In the closet.
Wait, hold on, pause. Why don't you have a shower curtain?
Because it's one of those ones with like the glass.
It's like a glass okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you just meant that you guys opted to not put a shower curtain in. I was like, that's a move.
We don't have believe a shower. In shower curtains.
Well, I know JJ is real big into like being a nudist, so you know it could go either way there.
I have no comment.
Because you know I'm right.
I came here so I didn't get charged. That's a sports reference that you guys understand.
I understand it. It's the guy who was on the Seahawks.
Yes, Marshall.
Oh, yeah, Marshawn Lynch.
We're doing a great job.
Yeah, he likes Skittles. The translucent doppelganger is pretty freaky. I didn't know that doppelganger is like an actual like ghost term. I just always thought it meant that you saw somebody that looked like you.
Yeah, that's how I always took it. I don't think it's necessarily exclusively a ghost thing, but
yeah, I have to look into that. Yikes, yeah. That one I could see me having a nightmare about. I haven't had a good nightmare in a while, but that might just do it.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the scarier episodes. And the fact that you know her whole family seems to, or almost her whole family seems to have had these kind of similar experiences really freaks me out a lot more because, you know, you can't just, I mean, granted, we don't know her personally. We don't know her family, but, you know, of course she seems very genuine, you know, to like someone who's just making this up for attention. But, you know, it's a lot harder to say, oh, well, it was probably just like her mind tricking her when all these other people have had similar experiences.
Yeah,
it's always like baffling to me when we're doing episodes when JJ's completely quiet because one, he's either like just totally not buying it and has tuned out, or two, is really convinced by this stuff. So it's fun to watch him really consider that the spiritual world exists.
Kind of take it all on. I also think that doppelganger story just threw us all for a loop. Like it was a hard one to kind of come back from, I think.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. This, like, I feel like it moves the needle more for me. I'm still, I don't know, like, what number I'm at anymore. But I feel like I'm definitely more on the open-minded to something supernatural being out there.
Well, do you feel like, because we've had such an array of stories, but I feel like lately we are getting more scary content. Do you feel like the scary content moves you a little more than the other stuff, or is it just the individual person's story, or what do you think?
I mean, if the scarier stuff does move me more, it's not like, it's like subconscious. I think it's more just like, you know, the fact that, or at least like according to her story, that, you know, her friend and her mom saw, you know, that weird yellow face thing. And that her parents have had all these other, or her whole family has had, you know, all these other encounters. That stuff's just like, it's hard to shake, and have had like really, really vivid experiences is the other thing.
Yeah. Kat, I know you've been on your energy kick. Did this story affect that at all?
Yeah, I guess so. It's like, I don't know, like some people, if it is energy, if we're going off my theory of energy, can people like see energy differently or hear it differently? Or I don't know, maybe there is a world out there where these ghosts and spirits are just
calling
at us from every angle.
I think it's interesting that how a lot of the people when they were younger could see physical forms of supernatural. And then when they get older, if, you know, whatever it is that's happening to them seems to change to where they say they feel things, you know, or maybe hear things or think they catch glimpses versus seeing like fully formed entities. I would be curious to talk to like maybe a psychologist or something and see if they have a explanation for, you know, why when we're younger, we may think we're more susceptible to see something like this.
Yeah. My science self also like goes to brain chemistry, because I think of like all the different types of neurotransmitters and things that are released or that are, you know, released in our brains every day. Oh my gosh, I'm really doing a great job explaining this, but the brain chemicals, right? So like, you know, if you have schizophrenia, you have too much dopamine, and then that you create all these hallucinations and auditory things that you hear that aren't there. It just makes me feel, and like not just schizophrenia, it happens to all sorts of mental illnesses, and maybe illnesses is the wrong word there. Maybe just like to an extent, all of us have these brain chemicals that we don't understand fully, or maybe like a portion of
some of that.
Yeah. And like even being more open and like working on meditating and bringing yourself to a regulated state to allow for those types of things to happen. My brain kind of goes to that direction too.
Well, and maybe the brain chemistry thing, too, like maybe that explains why, you know, like her family and other people that we've interviewed say that like this kind of runs in their family. Maybe there is like something genetic with the brain chemistry that's making people either more susceptible to experiencing the supernatural or more susceptible to, I don't know, maybe these auditory or visual hallucinations. Not to say that anyone who we've interviewed I think it's crazy. I think, you know, all of our guests have seemed like very calm, collected, rational people. But, you know, I don't know. Who knows? There's like, we don't know what the explanation is. And,
you know. I mean, the brain is a weird, cool thing. Like my dad was prescribed some kind of cough medicine and he didn't read the instructions and he just like took a big swig of it. Well, it turned out it was like codeine. And then he saw his head roll down the hallway and he's like as straight laced as you get. So, you know, not to say that's the same thing. I just think it's interesting how, you know, even on like substances, how so many things can affect our brain, you know, and our brain is literally what gives us our perception of the world. So, you know, it's the computer that kind of drives the machine. Right. So,
yeah, true. And how, like, we don't know how accurate our machines are working.
Yeah. So,
and not just in terms of like whether someone has like a mental illness or not, but we don't even know if like the baseline that we consider sanity, you know, whether that's accurate or not.
Judging by how many people aren't wearing masks, I would say there's a lot of broken computers out there right now.
Oh, there's a lot of stupid fucking computers out there.
They need to up some updated OS or something. I don't know. It's so frustrating, but that's neither here nor there. I wanted to thank all the people from Reddit who have been so kind with their time to come on the podcast. You guys have definitely really helped us at a time where, you know, we're living in this COVID world where a lot of times we would be able to pull guests in from our local community because we all performers and have the benefit of seeing a lot of people who recommend guests to us. And right now that's kind of tough. So thanks, guys. We appreciate that. I want to start posting some of our content on those ghost subreddits. So we'll see how that goes. So maybe that will kind of give your stories a little more exposure. And I also want to start putting some clips up on YouTube. So we'll kind of see how that goes too. But I did just from the Real Hauntings family want to thank you guys and thank all our fans for listening. This month was particularly a good month for us for whatever reason. Maybe just because people are tired of being locked in their homes and they want to listen to more ghost stories. I don't know. But thanks you guys. And thanks Riley for coming on, and Kat and JJ, thank you for always being so awesome. And with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ Crable.
And I'm Kat. Ooh.